Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, what is popping out there in the world of wrestling? I don't know, but it's always something interesting. I'm here, and I'll just say it, my best friend in this fucking world, Charlie. How are you doing today?
Let's go!
How you doing today, bud?
Doing all right, man. You know, hey, we're getting back in action with everything. Everything going on in the world.
Absolutely.
The vegans are jumping. The
vegans have revolted.
I literally had a train of thought there and completely lost it. But anyways, fuck it. Vegans are the crossfire.
So how are y'all surviving the vegan revolt? The meat shortage is getting a little bit, I mean, we already had a meat shortage. No, I'm just kidding. I've been dealing with that my whole life. But, that being
so, what have we here?
No, you won't be saying that. You'll be like, what don't have we here? But, anyway, that being said, small phallus jokes aside, there was actually some really good wrestling this week. There was some really interesting stuff happened throughout the world of wrestling as well. I just had to turn my own volume down because I was making my own ears bleed. Because I was like, Jesus Christ, why am I so loud in my own ears? It's because I was blasting some fucking tunes earlier. But, exactly. But, there was some really good stuff this week. And just before we get into all the stuff that we like, because we always like to start off with favorites and stuff like that, there are a couple of orders of business to take care of at the top of the show that we always like to take care of. First of all, if this is your first time listening to this show, you might not know, we both have a Twitter page. We also have a Twitter page for the podcast, but I'll get into all those in just a moment. The first one is you can follow me at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke on Twitter. You can also follow Charlie at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. So if this is your first time listening, make sure you go ahead and hit us up on those socials. You know, we always like to interact with y'all. You can also hit us up directly at Eat Sleep Elite if you have a question you want to ask the show that we might answer next week. You know, I did mention a few weeks or maybe a little bit longer than that back that if any questions come in, you know, we'll save them back and we'll add a little segment to the show where we start answering, you know, fan questions and stuff like that. So
absolutely.
If you have an opinion, you have a take, if you want to tell us to go fuck off, you can do that right there. But other than
good. That was good timing how that came through.
Yeah. I was leaning down to get my cat to stop doing something and I took advantage. But anyway, all right. Now that the cat has been taken care of.
Eviscerated.
Yeah, we stripped it for parts. we have a couple of, you know, there was some really, like I said, there's some really good wrestling this week. But honestly, I was really impressed with, it's been like multiple weeks now that they've kind of strung everything together in a really nice way. And it didn't feel disconnected. So just thought I'd comment on that before we get into the other stuff. But you guys are probably listening to this on a podcast platform. If you're choosing to be that Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, you know, whichever of the podcast platforms you happen to be presiding on today. And just before we move on, there's a little thing I want to mention so going forward, we're going to try this thing. We've been trying out some new things. So we tried it in a new style of intro last week. Still waiting for some feedback on that. We might have actually already gotten it. We just haven't seen it yet. We're looking to get the feedback on that. We'll incorporate that soon. We'll have to take into account. But there's actually a new feature that we found out about. So going forward, if you guys follow us on, Charlie, remind me, it is on Apple Podcasts, correct?
Yes, it is the Apple Podcasts Connect.
Okay, on Apple Podcasts Connect, there will be exclusive. Now, they're not going to be permanently exclusive podcasts or anything like that. But we've talked about various minis that don't really kind of fit anywhere in the main sequence of pods. The reason why, in my opinion, the mini that we do for reviews and the predictions for the pay-per-views, they fit into the week of podcast just way more smoothly because it's one Dynamite leads to the next pay-per-view, you know what I mean? So anyway, but not always do stuff like the Pillars episode of stuff that we've talked about. So we want to possibly, and we're not even possibly, we're actually going to go ahead and try this. So for a week, when we first do those podcasts, they'll be in that exclusive little feed there. It's not like you have to do anything special, by the way. Like, you don't have to pay anything. There's nothing like that. You just got to be subscribed on Apple Podcasts, and you'll get those exclusive podcasts on there for a week, and then they'll go out to everybody else.
And a good way to look at it, this is, it's more or less for our evergreen content, right? Content that it doesn't matter when you look it up. You know, if we, the perfect example is our Four Pillars episode. You guys, we've talked about that before. We often mention our Four Pillars. And when people come and check out the podcast for the first time, they're like, oh, these guys did a Four Pillars show? Because that, just like our award show, it's evergreen. It's always going to be there. So that's like the example of, you know, we'll do a little offshoot mini and put it there first. And because, like, pay-per-view content, you know, that's going to be stuff, I'm assuming, like, Final Battle.
It'd be kind of brutal to hold that back for a week. It would kind of lose a little bit of sting, you know. Like,
I don't know what you we're going to try and get that up as quick as possible. We want that up, you know, hopefully before every other wrestling podcast that you guys cover and watch. And so, yeah, the best way to think of it is evergreen content. It's something new. I don't even know how many of you guys are subscribed to Apple Podcast Connect. It's not a feature I was familiar with, but, you know, we got the opportunity to go for it, and we sent it. So it doesn't hurt to try new things, right? I guess it's what
it's all about in 2023. Yeah, so if you guys want to get extra exclusive content from us, you just go over on Apple Podcasts if you have that Connect feature, and if, you know, if something you're interested in, you want to get some extra content from us, more than welcome. But you'll still get it either way. So you're just
exactly. Have
so, but, you know, that's a little extra bonus incentive for you guys to – if you have that, because I'm sure there are some people out there that listen that might have already been a part of that because they listen on Apple quite frequently or something. So, but that being said, we have some good stuff to talk about here, Charlie, and you are up on the bump first. So go ahead and hit us with that first pitch.
Absolutely. Just one second before I dive into this match, it's because it's on my brain. Something we had also been talking about was covering more pay-per-views, and, you know, if anyone's even interested, we might cover the Royal Rumble this weekend. Is that something that people, because we've talked about February 18th, we're covering Battle in the Valley. I might have completely butchered the name there, but it's the New Japan show in San Jose. That's something we're going to try a lot more of in 2023 with the channel, is because we see that even our favorite shows are pay-per-view shows usually. So, and that's what other people's favorite shows are to watch. So that's something. So keep an eye on for that. I mean, we'll talk more about it. We'll figure out the timing and everything. But I believe it's Saturday, the 29th. And, yes, the Royal Rumble. So, I mean, hey, we know Cody's in it. That's his return. And, yeah. Okay, so to my favorites. Here we go. Boom. It's a little bit of a different one this week. We're going with Brian Cage and Willie Mack. You might be thinking, which one? Yeah, because they wrestled on Dark Elevation and Rampage. Well, part of the reason I'm picking this is because it was both. I thought both matches were completely fantastic. And the one on Rampage, which we'll focus on, it technically was my favorite. So these guys kind of bring a similar magic that when you and I had the Raudio podcast or the Squadcast, there was two wrestlers I often talked about. When they got together, it was just magic. And they're bigger guys, so that's what makes me draw this comparison. That's Keith Lee and Dijak. Whenever those guys got together, it was instantly magic in the ring. And like this, Willie Mack and Brian Cage, it evolved from PWG. These guys, their first singles matches together were in PWG. Then they went on to have these matches in Lucha Underground and now in AEW. Willie Mack, he's a name all of us have known, you know, in the wrestling scene for years, but he's kind of been off the grid of the major television programming. You know, he was in NWA. He's in MLW right now. Willie Mack, I think this week, has shown a Ring of Honor, AEW. He would be a great fit. And I thought these guys just had a really... It was only 8 minutes, but they really put on some good magic. And in a week where we had some unbelievable wrestling matches, I really wanted... This one stuck out to me. So for that, it was my favorite. Garrett, what did you think of this one? And the big men wrestling like cruiserweights will never get old.
Yeah, no, that's what I put in my notes. Jumbo Lucha, which is about as accurate as I can get. Like two big men doing flippy shit, which, I mean, what? Makes me want to see Willie Mack versus Wardlow. Makes me want to see Willie Mack versus any of the big guys in AEW, like him versus Lance. You know what I mean? Like they, any guy that can do some heavy flippy shit, that'd be good. Him versus Lee. You know what I mean? Like shit, Lee can get there with it. People forget. People sleep on Keith Lee. He's actually an athletic freak. Like, I'm pretty sure if he wanted to, he could actually hit a tope cleanly. Like, if he really practiced, you know, like, not that he doesn't hit it cleanly, but, like, he just does the wrecking ball tope where he's just like, I'm going to kill you with my body, you know, like.
100%.
I thought Max bumping in this was, like, insane. Like, he just looked like an absolute, like, monster, just getting thrown in every direction. It was crazy. And then it had a pretty decent sequence ended. I didn't write down what it was, but I did like the ending sequence of this match. Brian Cage, man, right now he's every now and then you get these couple months sprees where Brian Cage just goes on these sprees of really good matches, and it just doesn't really get noticed by Tony for whatever reason, you know, like, but I'm really impressed with Brian Cage lately. Not that I've never am, but like I think
the match at the Forum that these guys had on Dark really just stood out, and you know, you're about like to that talk match about was that
way better
minutes,
than it had any business being. Exactly. I was sitting there watching that match this week, and I'll get to it when I talk about it because I think it's in my show. Yep. I think it is. Even if it's not,
good. Yeah. The crowd reacted that good, and yes, Tony clearly saw it and was like, "All right, let's put it on the show. Let's put it on Rampage. They deserve
Rampage,
it,
Rampage, baby."
And Willie Mack, I really hope he gets picked up from this. I'm not even kidding. There is always room in any wrestling company.
And MLW would be foolish not to make their next main event Hammerstone versus Willie Mack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he's fantastic. So yeah, what was your favorite this week in a loaded week of wrestling?
Yeah, so there was a lot of really good stuff this week. You had like a lot of really good matches. But there was only one match that I was like, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun. And that was the main event of Dynamite this week. Oh, hello, nephew. How's it going there, bud?
This is where the fun begins.
Exactly. So we had Darby Allin taking on Kushida for the TNT Championship at an open challenge in the main event of Dynamite. So I agree with commentary here. Darby has like a super solidly underrated wrestling base. Like, he can wrestle. Like, he doesn't do it that often because he doesn't have to, because it's not really his style. But at the beginning of this match, because he's against a guy like Kushida, who is, again, a really hard striker, but again, based in really solidly good wrestling, like a lot of the Japanese guys are, you know, they just had a really nice tight lockup and a good push off, and it was just good. There was a really good stuff that opened up this match. It allows him to do those crazy flips and stuff like that because he has that base. He can work out of that. So he can go from a headlock to now he's just jumping off the top rope because why not? You know what I mean? Like, because he's opened up that opportunity because he did, like, I don't know, a neck breaker or something, you know, like, I don't know, does a neck breaker, but like he did some kind of move like that and it opened up. So his style allows him to do the rest of the stuff that I don't think Darby, if he just did the Daredevil stuff, I think he'd still be popular. Like, look at Jeff Hardy, right? But I think that's the thing that draws you into Darby. Again, I'm not saying that Jeff Hardy can't wrestle. I'm just saying that most of the appeal of Jeff Hardy is just the crazy shit that he does. You know, I think there's more there with Darby.
There's more beyond that surface level. Yes. Just the batshit craziness. Yeah.
Oh, and something that I've been noticing lately, dude, every code red he's hitting lately just looks so good. It's just the snap on it just looks
how
incredible.
How does he make that move that we see almost in every wrestling match at this point stand out and look so beautiful?
I think what he does, he must have some kind of, maybe he does like a little more reckless like flip or something, because it does look like it's a little more violent when he does it. So it could
like
be
when Okada
he just says,
hits his lariats, man. It
out. Maybe it's just one of those things where he's like, just flip the shit out of yourself. I'll protect you. You know what I mean? Like, and he does. And maybe he's figured out something like how he holds them or how he flips with them. So I'm saying, like, I feel like Darby's got something there because it does look so incredible when he does it. I don't know where it gets, but really good stuff. It could just be that he's been doing the spot for so long that if he has to teach it to somebody, he could probably do it. So, and one thing I had to write about Kushida, man, because he looked so fucking good in this match. He was just hammering the shit out of him with arms and elbows and shit. And it was awesome. And how the fuck do you overlook this guy in WWE? I will never understand that. Like, he was so overlooked for so long in NXT, and I will never.
He was one of the guys, like, right when we kind of stopped covering, he was one of the newer ones, and we were, like, so excited about it, and it just never. They did the back to the. His entrance was a $1 million entrance, and it just nothing ever came out of it. It was very disappointing.
I can think back to like probably one of the last episodes we watched and he was on it. He made an entrance and he didn't attack anybody and he didn't really get into a feud and he just kind of looked like out of place. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, man, hopefully I got something for this guy, but they obviously didn't. And then Darby squeaked out the win with a Last Supper, which is still one of my favorite pinning combinations in AEW. And I just thought it was a really solidly good match. Obviously, I didn't think Darby was going to lose. Darby's firing on all cylinders. I keep using that phrase all show because it's a good phrase. And I don't know, Darby Allin right now, just everything he's doing has been great. I expect this to be one of the better title reigns of this year because Darby is just an absolute freak when it comes to this shit. And he's probably going to jump off something big to lose. So I would think, you know, so...
Yep, and his next stop was in Noah, where he wrestled with Sting, and it was really neat seeing him.
Oh, wait, him and Sting wrestled with Sting.
Okay. Yep, and he brought the TNT title there. It was really cool seeing the TNT title in Japan.
How about Sting wrestling in Noah in 2022? What a fucking time to be alive, man!
It's pretty nuts, and you know this was a fun main event, and. Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. I thought Kushida being accompanied by the LA Dojo, Kevin Knight,
I like that as well.
Was a nice touch too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Good stuff.
Something we're noticing is the bringing in of these guys. Look at who we just talked about. Kushida as your favorite. Willie Mack was in mine. Neither of these guys are signed to AEW. Is that the... And honestly, if we were going to pick another match from our favorites, it probably would have been he's signed now, but... Brian Danielson and Bandido, who was just signed.
Yeah, Bandido just signed in the last, like, 3 months of last year.
So it's like, the newer roster, and again, this is something that's always made AEW so special, is the willingness to bring in these guys and bring in anyone at any time, keep you on your toes. I mean, El Phantasmo wrestled last year randomly in that one, what was it, Forbidden Door, maybe? It was the week up to Forbidden Door?
Yeah, we had, just like, him and Bullet Club versus...
Here's El Phantasmo wrestling on TV. Okay, David Finlay's on TV this week. What
we had Hikaleo on TV at one point. Like,
yeah, and now it's just...
Almost died on a exiting the ring, but we had Hikaleo.
I just thought that was a fun little touch. But yeah, I mean, you covered everything. This was beautiful. And yeah, so, okay.
It was something I just thought about while I was sitting here. I don't mean to take too much longer on this. It didn't feel like a super typical Darby Allin match, too. He didn't do anything super death-defying, you know what I mean? But it still worked, and that's, again, that's something with Darby, you know? Like, he doesn't have to always lean on that stuff. So I think, you know, it's good to see Darby out there, you know, doing good stuff.
Agreed. It really is. And, okay, so we got a little bit of news, and, you know, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show, I mean, there's been news that everyone's been talking about all week, and we're not going to spend too long on it because, you know, you guys have heard 100,000 different things. And Jay Briscoe had passed away this week. He was a current ROH tag team champion. And you and I waxed rhapsodic this past year about the trilogy of matches FTR had with the Briscoe brothers, all of them seemingly upped the other, and it ended with that beautiful
match.
Imagine
if the Briscoes were on the AEW roster, how hard that would have been to decide.
I it would have been insane. And, you know, I thought that dog collar match was so fucking awesome. And again, we've talked so much this year about how FTR became the living legends in 2022. I say this year, I'm going to start saying last year, when FTR became the living legends, a big part of that reason was this trilogy of matches being... I mean, I can't think of a better wrestling trilogy of matches. And
it's genuinely that trilogy and the moment with the United Empire match with the slap. Like that slap is going to go down as maybe the most iconic moment in wrestling.
It was so beautiful, and
in that year, like, for sure. And, like, can you think of anything else that happened in wrestling that year that wasn't like Vince retiring that was like more interesting and significant than that? I can't think of any. That slap,
and
still
both of us would have picked this as our favorite rivalry of the year if it was, again, it wasn't an AEW rivalry, so it had these little weird things. But yeah, so Jay Briscoe passed away, and you know, the wrestling world, as you saw guys on Dynamite and Rampage kind of wearing a Jay armband, and they also filmed a Jay White
Ring of Honor Jay White tribute show. It's going to be on Honor Club. It might already be on there now, honestly.
So that'll be up there, and we won't run through the spoilers of that, but, you know, we'll cover that when it comes out, and that'll be cool. But yeah, it was pretty wild. It was just a sudden tragic accident, and yeah, I don't know what else to say.
What do you even say? Like,
exactly. I mean, you guys have heard all the, you guys have heard all the stories from people that knew him all week. And it's just, it's a very, very tragic thing. And it sounds like, you know, we're able to cut, since we're doing this podcast Tuesday this week, Mark Briscoe will be on AEW this week. He will be having a match with Jay Lethal.
Which is like a not cataclysmic, but it's like a massive change.
And that is a massive change because as we saw, as briefly just mentioned, guys were only allowed, where they were really only allowed to honor Jay was through their armbands. They couldn't really do something big for the show. And it sounds like Tony Khan, from what we're hearing from Meltzer and others, it sounds like he kind of put his foot down in a meeting with Warner Brothers. And kind of news this morning broke that Tony Khan was kind of given the okay to do stuff with Mark Briscoe going forward. And and that's clearly happened because Mark Briscoe's going to have a match. So
I didn't know that was what happened. I didn't realize that was what Meltzer was reporting. I just assumed that Tony probably wasn't happy about last week not being able to do that.
His exact quote was, Mark is now allowed on AEW TV going forward, and that AEW has also been cleared to honor Jay on the show as well. And because we'd reported before, because Briscoes were banned from AEW TV. That was a thing from Warner Brothers, that they were banned, and that we felt that last week when they couldn't really honor him.
So I guess I was going to try and avoid this, but we should acknowledge it, I guess. A lot of other people have. We should acknowledge the reason why they weren't allowed on the show, which is a pretty bad tweet that Jay put out a long time ago. And it has some personal weight for me personally. Those of you that listen to the podcast for a while or follow me on Twitter, you'll understand where that's coming from. And I'll say this. The consensus from the wrestling world seems to be that Jay Briscoe regretted everything that he said in that tweet. He didn't believe it anymore. And I don't know what to believe, because for me personally, I don't know how to look past stuff like that. It's really difficult for me. But I will say this. I don't believe that gave Warner Brothers the right to say, all these people want to honor this person. You can't do that. I mean, they obviously did have the legal right, obviously.
Yeah.
They did it. You know, obviously, they couldn't have done it if they didn't have the power. But I don't believe that it was right to deny that. It'd be like if Jay was having a funeral and Warner Brothers owned the funeral or owned the cemetery and said, well, but he said this thing, so you can't bury him here. Like, could you imagine? Now, it's not his fucking funeral, but in the wrestling sense, it is, you know, like. So that, I don't know that I agree with that, but I do think it is worth acknowledging that there was a time in Jay's life where he did think like that. And as you can see currently, still up until like this week, it was affecting his and his brother's careers. And
it's sad that something like that plagued his career, and it, you know, you gotta,
but I think it's probably for the best now to just let the guy's soul rest. I don't want
that's a good way to put it. And
I don't think it's worth bringing. Yes, we should acknowledge that was a part of his life, but we should also acknowledge that people can change, and then we should give them the opportunity to change should they try.
Very well put. Very well put. And, you know, him and his brother, and I think this is something we're going to see going forward. I mean, they're by far one of the greatest tag teams in the history of professional wrestling. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be an emotional thing on Wednesday. I feel like we're going to feel the emotions through the broadcast and from Jay Lethal.
I can tell you,
from
Mark Briscoe, this last week, even though they weren't allowed to, like when Jay and when Jay and Orange were out there, I could feel it in Jay. You know what I mean? You could tell he was hurting.
Long time. The official statement was, Briscoe will take on an old Ring of Honor rival, Jay Lethal, as they honor the late Jay Briscoe on what would have been its 39th birthday. They are still recognized as tag team champions. And so basically, you know, Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe and the Briscoe brothers in general have had great matches. And
I'm going to do something. I'm going to overstep my bounds here a little bit, Charlie, and ask a question that no one's asking, that I don't know if it's fair to ask yet, but do you think Mark Briscoe retires without his brother?
You know, he's 39. He's got 7 kids.
13 world championships.
Yeah, I think I no one knows what his mindset is. And the fact that he's wrestling tomorrow, I think, is going to give an indication. Maybe wrestling is going to be his way of healing. And I think we might see a lot. We're either going to see none of Mark Briscoe. This might be the only match. Or we might see a lot of Mark Briscoe, whether it's Ring of Honor or, you know, maybe this is going to be his way of healing. I mean, what do you do with the tag titles? That I don't know.
I think the most smart and respectful, even if Mark doesn't want to do this, I think
is
the
Mark just vacates him maybe?
Yeah, he just drops it and then maybe gives a speech about his brother or something in the process. Yeah. Like, I think if he's capable, by the way, if he's too emotional for that, we could have somebody else to give the speech, but like just have somebody talk about it. Fuck it. Maybe this is one of those times you have Tony come out and you have him take the title and have Tony say some words about Jay Briscoe and what he meant to him in the wrestling business.
That, you know what? This would be a good time for him. That is a great point. This would be a good time for him to come out. So yeah, it was pretty wild week.
And no matter how I personally feel, it's fucking awful what happened to the guy's daughters. Oh my God.
Oh, absolutely. It's yeah. There was two people killed, and both of his daughters were very injured. So yeah, I'm sure more people will have information on that as that comes. But yeah, that's all we're gonna cover for news. Everything else we had was kind of irrelevant. So. Let's move on to Dark Elevation, where you had a fucking awesome week this week.
Jealous of
your show that you get to cover here. Take us away, Dark Elevation episode number
98. We had Emi Sakura and the Vicious Vixens taking on a team of jobbers. It was all business Emi. She didn't have any fucking jokes for you this week. She had no fucking time for your bullshit. She let a beast bomb be hit while there was no tag, and then she made the cover with a disrespectful ass tea time. And that's Emi Sakura for you. And we had Kevin Blackwood of, where is he from again? Which promotions is he with currently?
We've seen him in GCW, PWG, and a lot of our West Coast wrestling promotions.
I knew I'd seen the name before. I just couldn't think from where. And it was taking on Daniel Garcia. And I kept thinking during this match, like, where the fuck is Sammy? Isn't that the storyline? What the hell is going on here? But whatever. He did a nice little early kill of Blackwood's momentum because, like, Blackwood just came into this match saying, yeah, no, I'm just going to have a wrestling match. I'm not going to do the dark shit where I just get beat up for 10 minutes. Like, no. He had some really so,
go ahead. Daniel Garcia and Kevin Blackwood started out as a tag team together in April of 2018 at the PWR Spring Fling.
Well, hell yeah, absolutely. Some
so
history.
There you go. They had a tag team named Black Metal. They were also the Buffalo Brothers.
Hell yeah. That sounds
so like these guys, tag. This goes way back. It's okay. Really cool to see two guys from Buffalo.
Makes sense then. It's because he had some smooth transitions on some of the, you know, the chain wrestling and stuff with Garcia. And he had a really nice suplex that he hit. Like, it was like sort of like a, I don't know what it was meant to be, but it was almost like, it looked like a flatliner, but it was basically like an overhead suplex. It was really cool. Like,
definitely.
He did a really nice sell on Garcia's elevated DDT, which is what he picked up the win with. So, yeah, shout outs to DC out there getting a really nice, or DC DG out there getting a really nice match with Kevin Blackwood. I really enjoyed this. Is there anything you wanted to add about this match, Charlie?
I am a massive fan of Kevin Blackwood. I think this guy seriously has some of that untapped potential in the wrestling business. And he's one of those West Coast wrestlers that we often talk about where I think they're just so fucking fantastic. And Tony Deppen's another one that we've seen more recently on AEW and ROH. Yeah.
I am but the Tony Deppen hype.
He's part of that West Coast wrestling where we always see it. And we felt a lot of that this week with Cage and Mac and everything else. So, yeah, go ahead. Good stuff. I love Blackwood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So backstage, we had Hardy Party and Ethan Page. Some more tension between Zay and Ethan here. Not much in this segment. There wasn't like a – I think they set up a match maybe or something like that, but that was it. And we had, it's the next match, Charlie. We had Ari Daivari accompanied by, wait for it, Zach Clayton.
Oh my God, who the f-
And we had Nick Ruiz is there as well, which I thought was interesting. So is that, do you think there's a little hint there or just Nick Ruiz was just there? I mean, no, I don't know. Anyway, they took on the Dark Order.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that. The Ruiz wise guy.
Fucking wise guy, but Nick Ruiz, name I've heard before, seen before, I think, took on the Dark Order, standard Dark Order affair. I was asking, Clayton, do you think Trust Busters for him? Do you think that would work?
Nick Ruiz is in a tag team called Border Patrol. They recently wrestled Peace at PCW Ultra.
We can't take that name with him, but...
No, he can't take that name, but they recently wrestled the Gates of Agony at another more West Coast wrestling, PCW,
There you go. All right, yeah. Cool.
The guy is fucking huge, by the way.
Yeah, but Zach Clayton and the Trustbusters, any that do anything
don't
for
take
you?
The
like
the name Border Patrol. That's not a good tag name.
Absolutely not. But yeah, I mean, Clayton in the trust bus, does that do anything for you? Like, would it? I mean, I don't know. Give him something to do,
I
right?
I think they're a death trap right now, so I don't. Yeah. Okay, you know, fair enough. Our boy Zach Clayton.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they hit the pendulum bomb, got the W. You know, Johnny Hungy looking like Johnny Hungy out there doing some good stuff. And then we had Konosuke Takeshita backstage, and he was getting interviewed, and they were like, you know, asking him questions about the stuff with MJF, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Don Callis came into frame.
Yep.
And we've been talking about this for a few weeks. There's been some hints. There was a little bit of Don Callis in the crowd, and he basically straight up told Takeshita, "Me and Kenny are interested in you. We want to see if there's something we can do together. You know." So here's my card. Get in contact with me and Kenny. So we'll have to see where this goes. But so far, Charlie, this sounds like the formation of potentially one of the best tag teams ever. So
yes, and we have heard this week Kota Ibushi's New Japan contract is running out very, very soon. So if they do a thing, because there's been some rumblings now, this is more like... If Don Callis is going to pitch to try and recreate the Golden Lovers, but with Takeshita instead of Ibushi, maybe Ibushi then steps into the full. There's some really special shit.
Hear me out. We just had Kushida on the show. Ibushi and Kushida versus Takeshita and Kenny. Oh my god,
it would be fucking insane. If Kota Ibushi is about to be. You know, the fucking guy. He's had this very, very ugly falling out with New Japan. And I mean, he hasn't wrestled since. He's ready to go. So if they could bring Kota into this angle, I mean, dude, I'm all fucking in. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. All right. And in the next match of the show, we had La Facción Ingobernable taking on Misterioso and Diego Valens. And I can't believe I nailed those names for a shot. And we had some spine of the pine, a little bit of bull's horn, a W, a little post match, extension cord choke and beating. You know, from good boy Roosh. Good brother Roosh. Good boy sounds a little fucking. I don't know about that, but good brother Roosh. And also in the match was obviously what is his name again? Something Pero Peligroso. That's what his name.
Yeah, Pero Peligroso.
AKA Preston Vance. Yeah, and we had the Wingmen and the SAP taking on Hardy Party and the Stooge, which I was like, what? Hardy Party and the Stooge? What? Is there something there? But I don't know. And we had Remix Ethan continuing. We had a senton and a leg drop combo that looked really nice from, I believe it was from, I think that Matt and Zay have been doing that for a little while. It's a good move.
Yeah.
Then chaos ensued in the match. And then Ethan jacked the W from Zay after he picked up the senton. He was like, yep, tag me in, bro. And he picked up the win.
Tag me in.
And then we had the match that you were super hyped about this week, which was Willie Mack taking on Brian Cage with Prince Nana in his corner. And I put this in my notes as this: two guys who are meat men who can move. And that's accurate. They hit a nice fallaway slam. There was a nice plant. Swiftly moving meat, indeed. what a plant. Yeah, that was a nice plant on the DDT I liked as well.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yep, and they had some nice strikes exchanged and a nice twisting neck breaker. It's a good match for Brian Cage. He did some stuff that he doesn't always do to like a different move to finish. I like that Brian Cage sometimes just wins with a move. That's cool. That should happen in wrestling sometimes. Brian Cage, he's got something in that little wrestling brain of his. And that wrestling brain of his, he doesn't look little. He's got a big ass head for a small ass body. But well, actually, it's not even small. His fucking chest is probably bigger than my fucking entire body. So anyway, but that being said, we had Prince Nana backstage. Sorry, I skipped a segment. Never mind. Reverse. We had a Ring of Honor Women's World Championship Eliminator match with Athena taking on Zeta Zhang. And there was a heavy kick to start it. She's fucking absolutely potatoed the shit out of her. Loved it. And she did, though. It just fucking killed her.
Yeah, it did.
Then she hit a backbreaker into the ring, which was a really cool, interesting play on that move. You know, I haven't seen that done, so that was cool. A little backbreaker to the ring action. And then she transitioned that into like a super crank back crossface, which picked up the win. Which that was a nice, I liked that combo because she was still tight to the ropes, but she was still caught up in the neck breaker. The backbreaker hold. So she couldn't do anything. So she just transitioned to the hold straight into the submission, which I really liked. And then she tapped. And then she did some more belt face smashing. And then Charlie, someone finally was like sick of Athena's shit. And who was it other than Yuka Sakazaki?
Oh, love it. Love it.
It's been too long since I did that. She hit her little hammer elbow assault thing and made the save. And so I'm thinking we're getting Ryuka Sakazaki versus Zelina for the championship, you know? Or maybe we'll get a feud out of it. We'll see.
And I think someone's been watching some Athena content, and that is Okada.
Oh?
Because holy shit. When you said the stiff kicks and stuff, it made me think of Okada.
That's actually what I thought about, because I saw that gif, and then I was like...
Dude, he went fucking insane on the GHC. So the GHC heavyweight champion, the current world champion in Noah, is that Kaito Kiyomiya. I might be saying that wrong, but he's a younger guy. And he popped Okada in the chin. And Okada just... He pulled an Athena is what I'm going to call it, son of a bitch. He pulled an Athena and went nuts. He was laying waste to the meat. He threw him in the meat grinder.
I've never seen a referee try and stop someone in a match. Like, that's not something you see. That means you know some like, shit's hitting.
It sounds like this is a new character Okada's embracing. And shout out Okada putting the guy over, too. At Wrestle Kingdom, he put him over. That was really cool.
Hell yeah, man. I like a little bit, not like he's probably not going to be a heel because I don't know if Okada could ever really be a heel in New Japan, but like
he might be with this new character. Who knows?
Who knows, man? Yeah. Maybe he betrays the fans. I could see it. That'd be awesome. Remember when, I mean, people probably said the same thing about Naito for forever. I mean, Naito has always kind of been a heel, but I mean, like Naito has also been over as fuck for a long time. There was a period where Naito was just as over as Tanahashi, you know what I mean? And they had that match and then Tanahashi just took all the momentum and went into the stratosphere, you know, like.
Very true. Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, though, we did have Prince Nana backstage, like I mentioned, and the Dark Order were trying to recruit, I think it was Prince Nana, to their cause, and he was like, nah, I'm not interested, blah, 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 and then they tried to get him to give the money back that he owed them, because they made the gimmick reference to, like, the Nigerian prince online or some shit like that you always hear about in fucking your email, you know what I mean, like... And I thought that was really funny, and I think it's kind of, I don't know how, I'll be honest, I don't know where that ranks on, like, is this racist scale, but, like, maybe it doesn't, I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Nana was involved, but that doesn't
racially motivated.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, hey.
If it works, it works. It's funny as fuck that that's his backstory, is that that's why he's rich, actually, is that he's a fake Ganon prince instead of a real one. You know, that would be kind of funny, but either way.
We did our Dark Order fantasy booking last week, and we didn't have Princess or Prince Nana on the list, so.
I don't have Prince Nana, but I might have Princess Nana on the list. Hey. See what's going on there, but. That being said, though, we had the main event of AEW Dark Elevation 98, which was Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta taking on The Butcher and The Blade and Top Flight. And Butcher and The Blade had Bunny and Penelope at ringside. Oh, and Kip as well. Sorry, I didn't want to, don't want to slip on the boy Kip, but, Top Flight, looked really good in this match. I thought Blade had some nice uppercuts. Like, his sequence of uppercuts just lasted forever. I don't know if there was some, like, other spot that was supposed to come in there, but he just kept going. He was like, fuck it, I'll fill the time. And then they did a very big swing with The Butcher. It didn't last super long, but they did go for it. And, then Air Dante put down the crowd of bodies. And we had the nosedive flatliner combo for the win. So it was another big win for Top Flight over two pretty well-known teams. Claudio and Yuta could end up as Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, you know, at some point. So that's a real possibility. And it set up the main event for the next Dark because, you know, it just did. Of course it did. So with that being said, Charlie, what you got for us on AEW Dark 179?
179 already. Holy shit. We kicked off with Kira Hogan defeating Danica De La Rouge. Kira Hogan, every week she impresses me a little bit more. I really love seeing her on TV. And yeah, I like Kira Hogan a lot. I think she is a good babyface for the women's division.
Agreed.
Brian Cage with Prince Nana defeated Carl Randers. Big week for Brian Cage, picking up the second win of the week here. Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia tag team. They took on Diamas and Brian Cook.
All right, before you talk about this match, I gotta say this match felt so out of all over the place. And like, I'm sorry, but I'm sure these guys would be a good team, but it's not really what I want either of them to be doing right now is tagging with each other at all.
Couldn't agree more. I get why they're doing it, but they don't need to do this. And you know, maybe they just need to get their footing under themselves as a tag team, so they're getting these reps. Maybe, I don't know. Either way, Daniel Garcia and Sammy, they're both really good, but it felt weird. Action Andretti defeated Ari Daivari. We're still stacking Andretti's resume. Let me just take a moment to pause here and say this guy's fucking music is 10 out of 10. Holy shit.
It's fine. I think it'll grow on me. I don't know. I don't like flip out when
it reminds me of those mid-2000s WWE themes, like a Christian, where you have that first 5 seconds, and I was like, okay. And then boom, right to that catchy chorus. That's just so much fun. And
actually, that's fair. Christian's theme is kind of underrated in WWE.
It is. And this is, it reminded me of it. And we're back to giving. This is something AEW is doing lately. And I shouldn't say lately. It's like 2 years now. The wrestling themes are matching the wrestlers. Might sound dumb. However,
bro, I'm going to pause you for a second. Think about how much that's done for Julia Hart. The theme matching her personality, yes, and stuff.
And there's other companies out there where that is not the fucking case. And I never, AEW, when they first started, their music was very, I'll take a word out of MJF's book, mid. A lot of the themes were pretty mid. 2023, we're popping bangers like this. Marina Shafir's new one. These are people that are very low on the card, right? And that's nothing against the wrestler. I'm just saying, that shows the care that each wrestler is getting when it comes to their theme.
I'll give you another perfect example. Whenever Anthony Ogogo comes to the ring, I'm super hyped because of that theme song. Because even though, yeah, it's super simple, it fits him so well, you know?
And Action Andretti's theme fits him fucking perfectly. And I get that mid-2000s vibe to it, which, again, might not work for everyone. But I did not realize how good his theme was, literally until Rampage. And I was like, wait a minute, back this up. I literally had to rewind. And then I went and looked it up on YouTube. I'm like, no way. How did I miss this? But anyways, stacking up his victories. I will say
some AEW themes do sound better, just like the pure track. Because it doesn't quite translate when it's playing in a stadium of people, always. Not all the songs are designed that way. But a lot of old wrestling themes were like that too, so I get what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, one of the perfect ones, the Living Legends theme for FTR. I mean, how perfect is that for that?
That came out of nowhere, too. It was just a random 1 week. They just started coming out to it, and then they weren't sure about it, but, like, it was really good. And I remember immediately the first thought I had was, man, that kind of reminds me of what I imagine probably the Midnight Express was like. And then immediately the first comments that I saw from other people were, oh, yeah, it's a Midnight Express throwback. And then I looked at the Midnight Express theme, and I was like, oh, okay.
Well, this makes sense. But Andretti won with the Running Shooting Star. Again, I could not be more excited for this guy. He's immediately jumped to the top of my people who I'm rooting for in this company. So, really good on him. Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Jaden quickly. Torture Rack Slam victory.
Any thoughts, Matt, on who he's facing? We've been bringing it up every week.
After this week, I have no idea. I'm guessing still Jungle Boy. That's my guess still. How we get there now?
I still take the risk with Hook, man. That's what I do. And yes, Hook hasn't lost, but, like, man, if Hobbs is the one that deals that loss, I don't know. There's something there. Hobbs up a rich time. White kid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, there's levels to it. Agreed. Matt Menard and Angelo Parker defeated Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson. We've seen Pearl and Gibson before. Nice seeing 2.0 get some reps. And then our main event here, Blackpool Combat Club. Cassinoli and Wheeler Yuta defeated the Butcher and the Blade with the Bunny. You know, Yuta was getting choked in front of a child. That was kind of funny. That's where my humor is. But no, this was pretty good. Cassinoli assisted Yuta with a dive off the top rope onto Blade for the win. Compared to the Elevation, this was pretty weak. But it was still a decent episode of Dark. But Elevation, seriously, guys.
Hey, man, they picked up the win with the Rocket Launcher Jones. That's my new favorite move.
If you're just feeling some wrestling and you're listening to this right now and you're like, man, it's Tuesday night. What do I want to watch? Go watch last week's Elevation. Seriously. Just fucking do it from the Kia Forum. It was awesome.
100%
That being said, I think Brian Cage and Willie Mack my favorite dark match of the year so far.
It's still early.
I should start keeping track of that now. That way,
yeah, we should absolutely. Every time something stands out to me, I'm going to start taking notes because I didn't do that enough last year. It made calculating dark. If there hadn't been just two outstandingly way better than every other dark matches last year, would have been a lot harder. Like if Pac had like three, but like if Pac hadn't had his run, and then we didn't also have Thunder Rosa doing her thing, like I don't know if it would have been as easy. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. So, okay. We're about 45 minutes into our show now, guys, which is kind of where we like to be when we jump into the results of Dynamite and Rampage. So, thanks for hanging around with us. But now let's get into the main meat, if you will. And, of course, as always, we skip our favorites since we already talked about it. Orange Cassidy's fucking title run continues. I mean, is there more to say? This was awesome again.
There's plenty to say.
This wasn't the best one. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but, and maybe I could have done without all the shit happening outside of the ring. You know, they had to show off those new barricades, but Jay Lethal and Orange Cassidy went out there and I thought they put on a really fun match. I between having Orange Cassidy's current title reign and the one we're getting with Darby Allin, just kind of putting the title on the line each and every week. This is so much fun. Anything specific stick out from you? Stick out from this match to you?
And, I got a lot.
Of stuff. The Orange Cassidy. I mean, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
You called this. I'm giving you all the credit. You called that when Orange got the title.
I said that like weeks before he won it too. I was so confident. I was like, "There's no way this guy's not going to be like one of the greatest champions of all time." Like he's. That was when I had first gone back and seen the video by I think it's Joseph Monticello or something like that. I can't pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
That guy that does those All Japan videos, and he also has like a random like 10-minute video on Orange Cassidy. I sent you that video forever ago. I don't know if did you actually watch that when I sent it to you?
I can't remember. Yeah, and that, yeah. It kind of dove into like his
history. Wrestling. Yeah,
yeah,
yep. And how he had this background as fire
because he's a lot older than he looks.
Yeah, he's older than he looks, and he's got a lot more experience in wrestling. Like he was like one of the underground, like very known guys for a while, but you didn't know him if you weren't like a super IWC guy. So, but he's always been one of the best wrestlers in the world, and so I knew as soon as you put a guy like that in the championship. I mean, I looked at the Danielsons running WWE, and I was like, if you give one of the best wrestlers in the world a championship, it's going to be great, you know? And yeah, I'll take the credit on that one. I don't always like to take credit for stuff that I predict on this show because sometimes I hear things randomly on other things and then it becomes my own thoughts. And so I can't. But this was one I was just like super, super sure about. They had a really nice sequence to open this match up. And that's just Jay Lethal and his both have a really strong base in wrestling. They had some shenanigans with the best friends. We had Jay Lethal hitting a little Fargo strut out there. I love Cassidy slowing the roll by literally rolling slowly. It's one of my favorite spots that he does. It's hilarious. The crowd did not do the Ocho for the eight in this one, which I don't know what's going on there.
Sadly, that might be dying out.
I hope not. That was so fun. But it was fun. By the way, okay, well, this is actually a great opportunity to talk about this. Charlie, you know what I realized finally? Remember how we realized a few podcasts back that Jericho had eight title defenses and an 88-day title reign? Charlie, I'm gonna ask you a question that's gonna blow your mind. How many members of the Jericho Appreciation Society are there?
Son of a bitch. Is there eight?
There's fucking eight.
That's awesome.
Jericho is a wrestling genius. I don't care what anybody tries to say. That's that kind of planning and convincing Tony that that's gonna work and that they can actually pull off eight Jericho title defenses in 88 days and make it work and get the crowd behind it and also get Claudio Moore over in the process. What a genius. But I just thought we're not talking about Jericho. We're talking about Cassidy. We had a little bit I called it the Guitarhausen curse because he cursed him and then he used the guitar. So Guitarhausen is now canon. They had a nice slick Cazadora and then they got an orange punch. And then Sanjay squared up, which I thought was really funny. I want to see Sanjay wrestle. I'm sorry. I'm Sanjay. I know you're done. I know you want to just be backstage. I just want to see you wrestle. Please do a tag with Jay. I just want to see you wrestle, Sanjay. You're fun, but I understand you're busy. Did you know he's basically Tony's right-hand man? I think that's pretty cool.
Tony has done some great hires with people behind the scenes.
Sanjay is one of those ones that they randomly brought in. And I remember you were like, I don't know about this. And I was like, no, dude, Sanjay, that is so fun because I remembered him, you know? And he has turned out to be correct. I've been turned out to be correct about that. So, hey. I really enjoyed this match. Really fun stuff. And if we're going to consider like the opening match sort of like the de facto tribute to Jay, I think they did an excellent job.
That's a well put thing. That is well put. And I really enjoyed that myself. So, Top Flight defeated the AEW Trios champions, the Young Bucks. We have said this before. One of the better things about AEW is how selfless the top stars are. They will put anyone over when the time is right, especially. the Young Bucks were getting criticized at the beginning of the company for putting too many people over. But we've seen this time and time again. Jericho 2 weeks ago with, you know, more than 2 weeks ago now, but a few weeks ago with Action Andretti. And now the Young Bucks finally were in a position. They had the chance and they put over Top Flight like they've been wanting to do for, I mean, they're the reason the Top Flight's in the company. I mean, they brought these guys in and I immediately right away, Nick and Dante, they showed off their athleticism. Taz compared the similarities. I thought was a nice little touch. I thought there was so much high velocity action. I would sit here, right?
I wish they weren't Trios champions because I'd ask for a series of these matches, man. Not like seven, but like two or three.
But now that they beat them, theoretically, right, they could bring A.R. Fox in and do a Trios thing, maybe?
That'd be cool. I'd be down with that. Maybe they'll
do something like that, but I'm so glad that they put these guys over. And Top Flight deserves this. What a great fucking tag team.
Dante must be like a spinning top just turned into a human being because, man, when he flips, he just has so much rotation. It's insane.
He really does. But I'll get to the end of the match here. I'll kind of skip a little bit. But so Nick hits this clean face buster on Darius, a moonsault onto Dante on the outside, and immediately back in with a destroyer on Darius for the two count. They get the This Is Awesome chance, as you know, the crowd's going to do. Matt Jackson kisses his Briscoe armband. The Young Bucks hit a Briscoe-style doomsday device. Dante breaks it up. Dante sends the Bucks outside, tries to hit a no-hand springboard dive. Left right into a double super kick, really clean. The Bucks went for a BTE trigger on Darius. He ducked the move. The Bucks fucking, you know, they collided their knees together. Darius rolls up Matt for the pin. The crowd bought it hook, line, and sinker. They blew up. And I'm very happy that this happened. And this, you know, it's little things, man. Little things like this that I love wrestling. And
it's just cool to watch all the little things that we've noticed over the last year sort of start to come together with guys like Ricky, guys like Dante, guys like, you know, Daniel Garcia. Basically, I mean, all of our pillars. Wheeler, dude, if you look at all of our pillars right now, they're all in fantastic positions. Maybe Wheeler's not super fantastic, but he's a champion.
It feels like Wheeler's losing a little bit of steam, but at the same time, he's a champion in ROH, and he's teaming with Claudio. So
there's not like, as long as they keep using Claudio, he'll be all right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It feels like that, but at the same time, he is still raising his stock. But man, Top Flight, I know this had to excite you too, because how much we love Top Flight, and just the Young Bucks not being afraid to put over guys that they love. So,
dude, there was when Dante hit the nosedive in the middle of the match, I actually thought they might win it there because I was like, oh my God, he never hits that move, like, unless he's going to win. So, you know, like, I was convinced by that. I really liked the doomsday device spot. Should that have won? I'm just spitballing. I don't think that would have been a good end of the match, but should that have won? Like, I'm not saying they should have lost. I'm saying, but like, should a doomsday device have been the finish? Like, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have, yeah, maybe.
But then I like the way that it ended, so maybe not. I was just throwing that out there.
I think a flash pin really worked here. That quick little. So the Gun Club came to the ring, so the Acclaimed embarrassed themselves last week, despite being the ones who made the Acclaimed champions by giving them their dad. Acclaimed interrupts, got some good heat from the. Austin was yelling into the mic to cut their music, got some good heat from the crowd. Caster told them to cut Austin's mic, hit their music, you know. They had some good funny lines again. Yada, yada, yada. Pretty much a brawl ensued. Daddy Ass separated them both, and he said they're going for family therapy next week.
Hey, he said he's got two words for everybody. Suck it. Family therapy.
That was pretty good. That was pretty clean. The Guns and the Acclaimed doing it for you right now? Or
I mean... They probably do need to have the feud out at some point because they sort of feuded and then they took the dad and then they went and won the title. So there should be a story. There's a story. If wrestling is precedent is anything to go by, they should have a match for the titles now. I mean, that's what should have. They maybe should have had it sooner, but at the same time, you know, we obviously had other stuff to do. So.
Yeah. Renee is backstage with Hangman, asked how he's feeling physically. Paige said he stuck to his word when he knocked Moxley out, mocking what happened to him following their first match. But Kat asked where he goes from here. Pace said he needs to have some tough conversations and to mend some fences.
Hung Bucks?
Hung Bucks. Paquette wrapped up the interview and he thinks they're done filming as Paige then asked Paquette how Moxley's really feeling. And she said he's been hurt for the last 10 years. As Paige was about to genuinely ask a follow-up, he was held off. So, a good guy, Adam Page, is the... Look, let our boy Mox enjoy his vacation. Huh?
Absolutely, let him have some time. Let him spend some time.
I don't think we didn't miss him this week, and it's not for it's not because we don't want him here anymore. It's just we all know.
We all know he's been needing to take some time off for a while. He's done everything he can for the company right now. He put over the guy that everybody needed him to put over at the time, multiple times. I mean, John Moxley deserves to rest.
Ricky Starks defeated Jake Hager. This was a bit of a quicker match. Starks landed pretty awkwardly on his ankle at one point, so we're hoping he's all right. Even on Rampage, they announced he has a match next week, so we'll look forward to that. Pretty much Hager controlled most of this match. Starks had a really nice high cross body. Hager then attempted a Hager bomb, missed. Starks had a really clean tornado DDT for the 2.0, ran for the distraction. It failed. Starks hit a huge spear on Hager to win. Garcia and Guevara hit the ring. Starks sprinted through the fans, so the numbers wouldn't get him like they did last week. And then we had a little brief video package on Adam Cole. What'd you think of anything you had from this match? But I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, just at the end there, we had a little Remix Jones made it in. I liked that.
We're always down with some Remix Jones.
Also, the Adam Cole recap thing, I'm glad they're doing recap segments now. It's so key. Like, they need to start doing that more. Like, if they're not going to have somebody on, especially, but if they're going to have somebody on, they should still recap what happened last week. You just should do that.
And doing it in that fashion, it was quick and clean too. Shivani backstage with the pissed off Chris Jericho, Garcia and Sammy Guevara. Jericho said next week he's requesting
pissed Jericho. You might say no.
Pissed with Starks and Andretti against Guevara and himself. Garcia demanded to team with Jericho instead of Sammy, who was proud. Garcia stepped up. Garcia beats Action Andretti on Wednesday. He can have Sammy's spot in the tag. Guevara also presented Garcia with a new ring gear, which was some leather pants. Jericho said it doesn't matter if it's the sex gods of Garcia Cho. Starks and Andretti will get theirs next week. Yeah.
I do got to see Garcia Co. as an actual team at some point, though.
Yeah, right? Okay. Danielson and Bandido. You take the lead here. What did you think of this match? I know we probably could have used another 45 minutes of it, and I would have enjoyed it. But what'd you think of this one?
So yeah, fucking Bryan Danielson, man, he finds new and interesting ways to technical wrestle every time that just amaze me. Like, the opening sequence of this match wasn't like any other opening sequence of a Bryan Danielson match I've ever seen. He just did different things because Bryan Danielson is a fucking genius and he just knows. Also, that spot where he started basically doing crunches, like, to counter a move. The core strength that took. Like, Jesus Christ,
Danielson. It was pretty remarkable, yeah.
He's probably been working on core for a long time, but you can't just do that out of nowhere, even if you have been, I feel like. I mean, maybe he's just a freak, but a wicked submission move that Bandido hit at one point, too. I really liked that. I don't know what it was called, but he had, like, a really cool-looking submission at one point. They had some back and forth pin combos, the C kicks, not the S kicks. They were saying C, which I loved. That was awesome. I bet Danielson thought it was funny too. We had a nice 21 plex counter and then it hit and I thought, oh shit. Oh, okay. But I didn't think it was going to win, obviously, but I was like, oh. And then MJF, decided, MJ said, the way he phrased this was interesting. MJF did obviously, you know, Danielson hits a Psycho D. He picks up the win, I believe, at one point.
Yeah.
But then MJF obviously comes out to acknowledge. And he says he's going to go. It doesn't come out. Sorry. I think he was on the monitor, I want to say, right? Or the Titantron, the Contron, if you will.
Contron.
He basically said he's going to go mask off to beat Bryan Danielson. And after some of the comments he made last week, I don't know how I feel about him saying that.
Yeah, man, it's interesting stuff. This was such a fun match, right? These guys are just, they're two of the best. Danielson, we knew this was going to be a fun storyline, him just wrestling the best wrestlers. But my God, I can't believe the people they're putting him up against. It's so much fun. Bandido with Takeshita back-to-back weeks. I mean, those are going to have special places for us. So, yeah, really fun stuff. Another war on Danielson's road to the Iron Man match, right?
Yeah, this
we're
is
gonna call
be...
each match a war. So
I mean, in the first like 10 weeks of this year, we're gonna have the best of seven series and this to have to consider, like as potential best matches of the year, like and best series of matches, like that we have to consider, like
just absolute insanity. Okay, so Saraya was talking to Hikaru Shida backstage for throwing a Hendo. You know, she's pretty upset at her for throwing a Kendo stick in the ring during her and Tony Storm's tag match last week. Storm said she'll beat Willow tonight. Well, I fucked up her name, didn't I? As Saraya ordered Shida to stay backstage. How are we supposed to view Saraya as a babyface? Now, it's time for our boy Batista here.
Give me what I want! Give me what I want!
Are they fantasy booking for us right now, Garrett? Are we going to see homegrown AW women taking on some of the intruders, as Brits called them before?
Hey, man.
About to see a full-blown war where it turns into, is this going to be the blood and guts? Is this going to be, you know,
I think,
your anarchy
I think,
in the arena?
I think the ending of we obviously have an embassy segment in between, but I think the ending of the next match kind of basically confirms that's where we're going.
And yeah, good idea. So let's hit this next match. And because I think we might be able to start drawing some storylines here. Some teams. Like, where's Ruby fit, man? I mean,
I can tell you exactly where Ruby fits.
We could have some really cool shit approaching. And I think, remember, one of Saraya's big things when she came here was she wanted to see women put into bigger spots. If the women get the blood and guts match, or if, you know, if they get the... It was blood and guts. That's their war games, right? Or am I fucking this up?
Yes. Anarchy in the Arena is the other one.
Okay. If the women can get those spots this year, and it starts with a proclamation of this feud, of almost like intruders versus, you know, in-house, holy shit, count me in. You could have some serious fun with that.
You got to be careful, though, because Saraya can get a little carried away with the promos with this stuff sometimes. And granted, that was what she kind of got in trouble
but
for.
She has to be the heel. She would have to be the heel.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have, I don't want it to become them actually burying the company, because it can easily become that, you know?
Sure. Yeah. You got to be careful for sure. So let's jump into that. Tony Storm is taking on Willow Nightingale. We start off with Willow just really showing off her fucking strength. She's hitting a good shoulder block, but as well, she's showing off her speed. Hit a nice arm drag into a low cross body. She did her cartwheel off an Irish whip. Storm offers a handshake, but then slaps her in the face. She slaps Willow in the face and hit a hip attack on the floor. Hikaru Shida, kendo stick, makes her way to the fucking ringside. They go to commercial. Through the break, it seems Storm kept on Nightingale there. Willow fought free from a full Nelson and hit a few corner lariats. She hit a massive spine buster. Willow has a fantastic spine buster.
I would put her spine buster up there with Preston Vance's and Hobbs's. I would put same category to me.
You think maybe Arn has been showing him backstage a little bit there?
I hope so. Arn's like the spine buster king, so he better be. I mean, he'd at least give him a tip or two, you know?
Yeah. She followed with a drop kick off the second rope. Couldn't hit the corner cannonball. Storm hits a sweet cheek music and a spinning DDT.
That was a great transition of the momentum. That cannonball missed, and she fucking just threw her back into it, too. I loved it. She just fucking said, fuck it, I'm eating the fucking turnbuckle. And then...
Tony Storm is so fantastic, and so is Willow. And, you know, Willow Nightingale, after get the two count, she answered with a misdirect pounce. Nightingale was able to hit the corner cannonball. Saraya jumped onto the apron for a full distraction. Again, Saraya's a heel. This is heel. Like, this was enough for Storm to get a roll up with a handful of tights to steal the win. Post-match, Saraya jumped Nightingale, put the boots to her with Storm. Ruby Soho made the save. Hikaru Shida looking on, and she is just confused. Is Ruby Soho going to be on the homegrown
babyface side? Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because everything she ever did for the other company, she was always viewed as secondary. So she has never been the big star until she became to AEW. And granted, she hasn't really been in AEW either, but they've certainly treated her better when she was not injured than anywhere else has. I think that's, you can make the argument that maybe when she was in pre-WWE places, maybe not. But I don't know what her pre-history was like that. But I don't think really most people do, because she was kind of an unknown when she came in NXT, you know? So,
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think she came in as an unknown, and then she didn't really get used to WWE. I think she fits more in that mold than she does in the other one. To be honest with you, she wasn't. I don't think when she came in, it was as big. And I don't want to disrespect Ruby. I'm not saying that Ruby's not as big of a star. I'm saying that I think in terms of a WWE talent coming over, I think it was much bigger in terms of that when it was Tony who they attempted to use, or Saraya for sure. But like, you know, some of these other women that were very much through and through WWE stars before they ever came here. I don't know that she fits into that category. I think she's made more of a name for herself in AEW already. So maybe that's just me, but.
That's a good point. And so this has kind of been making its way. This has been making some waves online, and other people are thinking, is this going to be the route that they go? So using some current talent that they have, you know, Athena most likely fits in somewhere. Are we going to have a team of Britt, Willow, Jamie, Sheeta? And if you're saying Ruby's on this team, is that our five? And then facing, say, Saraya, Tony Storm, Athena, that maybe that's when you get Thunder Rosa back, because Thunder's still friends with Tony.
But Thunder doesn't here, really fit that mold. She
doesn't fit that mold, but they're going to probably need someone else. And you could say, you know, Thunder came out, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'd have to get.
Nah, I'm going to argue that she's been bigger in AEW than anywhere else. Like, maybe you could argue.
If that's why I'm thinking it's going to be a quick pull with Ruby. I think Ruby's. If they do this, Ruby's probably going to be on the other side, because you're going to need more bodies on that other side. But then again, Anna Jay, Ty Conti, where do they fit into this? The options are unlimited, and maybe
because then you run into the problem, is the JAS going to lean more toward the other side because WWE is sports entertainers?
I think JAS theoretically would be on Saraya's side, right? So,
well, then there's your five then.
Yeah, Willow, Ruby, Britt, Jamie, and Hikaru. That's your five. You know, AEW. For Saraya, Tony, Athena, Anna, and Tay Conti? Or yeah. Tay Mello?
And you could even have Ty and Anna still leaning into the sports entertainer thing and be like, yeah, all of us were sports entertainers before, even if they don't want to call themselves that now. That's what they
Tony
were.
Could be like, you're such a fucking joke. But at the same time, she's like, yeah, whatever, you're cool. Oh, man. The options here are fucking seriously limitless. Wow. The thought of that is seriously making me so excited.
It's got potential. If that's the way Tony is going, dude, I'm with the con on this one.
With the con! Renee is backstage with Kinosuke, asked him about his match with Danielson last week. He said he respects him so much and said something in Japanese, which Paquette asked what it meant, and he said, MJF is an asshole.
Takeshita, only speaking facts.
Takeshita, only speaking facts. He's the best. Yeah, I expect a big year for him. So, and that was, we already covered the main event. So again, pretty good Dynamite, pretty fun. They taped Rampage directly after. JR and Chris Jericho, who hates it when the crowd sings along to anyone's music, you know, he made sure to let us know. We're there with Shivani and Excalibur. Sadly, we were just missing. Jungle Boy Jack Perry defeated Ethan Page. There was some fun stuff. Was it before or after the match? It was after.
I was trying to think what you were talking about. Even I was like,
Ethan Page setting up some crazy stuff. He's going to be the one to break Matt Hardy. Maybe we'll see.
Yes, I still hope that's where they're going. But he's walking the broken
Jack
path.
Defeats Ethan Page, who's out there with Matt Hardy, Stokely, and Isaiah Cassidy. A fun group there he's with. But Jack. The trend continues, man. I mean, he is beating everyone in his path. And next week, they're setting up Jungle Hook one last time, taking on Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. I think the reality is Jungle Hook went over very well. So why not run it for a little bit while we're building up to Revolution? It's a fun team. It worked.
Do you think Jungle Hook makes it to a pay-per-view and then maybe breaks up after?
Maybe. I don't know the direction where these guys.
Be a tag team. We've talked about this Hook before. You can put Hook with somebody and just have them not be together all the time, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what they did with Danhausen.
I liked Hookhausen, man. I really liked Hookhausen. I thought it had
Dude, honestly, I'm thinking like from a merch and from like a popularity standpoint, if you put Hook, Danhausen, and Jungle Boy in a group, that's one of your most popular trios instantly. You know what I mean?
That's very true. So, any other notes from this match? Because we had the after the fact of setting up the tag, and Matt Hardy's a little crazy, man. He's you can see him tweaking a little bit. And they went as far as I know on BTE, he was completely broken at one point. So we've seen it translate from BTE to the screen before. If it gets over on one, they're most likely going to do it on the other. So
I just like, you know, there were some good spots. Like I always talk about Jungle Boy's bumps into turnbuckles always look good. I don't know, like I said, if he just throws himself at turnbuckles for practice, but if it does, it pays off. And if he doesn't, he just has a really good bump. Ethan Page is now going to be referred to as the Power Slam Menace. Because he's a menace with those power slams.
And I know you got to be so happy. Finally, Ethan Page is getting used regularly.
Oh, yeah. And it seems like because of that, he's starting to get into more of a groove with his wrestling, too. Like, I feel like sometimes with Ethan Page matches, I always have the same complaint, which is that they're good, but I'm just like, they're not. I know they could be more, you know? And I think he knows that, too. He's even made jokes about it, you know? Like, did you catch Hey W this week by chance? He made a joke about it on there. You know, about how he's not that great in the ring, even though he's really great at everything else, which I disagree with. You're good in the ring. I'm not super impressed by your matches. That's the only problem. Like, you have the ability, Ethan, just make him fun. Just do something interesting. And I think he did in this match. The finish of this match was a little different. That's why I like this match. So, I want to see where this is going, because it's like it could be one of those dark stories that just disappears, you know, and that really annoys me that some of those stories do that sometimes. But this has had too much. I feel like you have, and now you have Jungle Hook, which is a main storyline. I mean, it really is. Whether it's not being, you know, used properly or not, which I don't think Jungle Hook has been really utilized correctly so far, because I think they're just kind of existing right now, you know. Both groups need direction. So, and I've said this before, sometimes when two groups need direction, you point them toward each other, and there you go.
That's well put. I like it. After that, we jumped into
the Tony most Schiavone. Heartbreaking segment of all time.
I know, right? God, Tony Schiavone interviewing Ortiz in the ring. Ortiz calls out Eddie Kingston to settle their differences. Kingston comes out with a steel chair. The crowd really reacted to that chair. They pop for Eddie, and then they saw the chair in hand, like, oh, shit. Schiavone got out of the ring. Ortiz with some passion here, man. He was really upset with Kingston for trying to hit a woman with a chair. He said, "Is this how your mother raised you?" He goes on to say, "I know that's how she didn't." Said their mentor Homicide would call Kingston a fake tough guy. That was enough for him. He hit Ortiz with a chair, left him laying. This has all worked out for the House of Black, whose sole goal was to split up Kingston and Ortiz. They don't want to just have a match with you. They want to get in your head and ruin you as a person. They want to leave you scarred after the match. They want you to have no friends. They want you to hate everyone, be hated by everyone. This was awesome. This was super emotional. The promo Ortiz cut here, he's been taking some notes after his boy Eddie, man. That was good. And Eddie, I just love this. I ate this up, man. I ate it up, you?
Dude, I bit on this as well, dude. This was, I was so invested in this little, because this is also a dark story. Because this has been building up for a while between the two of them. There's been a little bit of tension, you know? And I love seeing this stuff translate onto the main TV show. And dude, I was shocked. I honestly thought maybe he was going to talk Eddie down. Instead, Ortiz was just pissed, man. He's just upset. And that is a more realistic, real reaction that you would have. And that's what I love about these two so far, is that the two of them are just super real. And then you get that that's why they're friends, because they've been doing this for a long time on the indie scene, and they just get it, you know? So I'm so excited for a heel Eddie. I've been asking for it for a while, because heel Eddie with the promos is going to be incredible. I can't wait to see what he has to say about Ortiz. Oh my God, that better be on like the first
Fake
three segments.
Tough guy, that bit him, man. That's not what you call Eddie. How great would it be if they bring in Homicide to try and
to try and be like the mediator between it? Yeah, I would love that. Homicide was just involved in something recently. Didn't he just have a match somewhere? If he's still obviously involved in the wrestling scene and they can get him to do AEW, that would be an incredible segment. Maybe you could also, they've involved the guy that runs AAA, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about, right? I can't think of his. He has the podcast with Disco Inferno. I can't think of his name. Anyway, you all know who I'm talking about. That guy. He's also friends with Eddie. They were tight. They've done some stuff before, and they're all tied into that lore with Homicide together that they've made across wrestling. They could bring him in as well. I think that'd be interesting. Do another like sit down of the families from New York. You know what I mean? Like they did a while back. You know what I'm talking about? I would love to see that. But I'm really excited for what Eddie's going to do, dude, because Eddie with no restrictions on what he can say, because he's not a baby face, you know, that's going to be, I mean, not that he ever held back, but like he can really lean into some stuff now. And that's going to be really, really fun. And man, it just, I'm really excited about this, to be honest.
Same. Darby Allin then calls out the House of Black. Last time he was in the ring with the House of Black, he quote, sent them home. Woof! Allin challenged Buddy for the TNT title on Dynamite Wednesday. Dude, these guys are pulling no fucking punches with these title matches, man.
Just incredible stuff for Darby right now. I'm so excited for this title reign. Like, so I expect at some point through Darby's title reign, Oranges will end and we'll be like, well, we still have Darby though, so everything's fine, you know?
And then he faces him the next week.
Oh my God.
They should just do a fucking title, just a title match, just a non-title match against each other 1 week.
Yeah, when they don't have a good opponent for either of them that week, if it ever comes about, it's be like, you know what? Non-title versus, or, you know, champion versus champion match. Let's go. Main event.
Let's do it. Run it. And we jump into another women's tag match. So, again, we actually didn't even talk about these two earlier, but if they're going for all the bigger stars, Jade might fit into that team too. And that's Jade Cargill and Layla Gray. The baddies teamed up against Jada and Jordan Vanity. I believe they were sisters. They mentioned sisters at one point. They looked pretty good. Layla starts this match out pretty, you know, handled both their opponents. Jade got the tag to a nice little decent pop. She looked annoyed and she battered one of the Vanity sisters with a forearm. Gray had a neck breaker, tagged Jade back in. She finished off with a Jaded Slam for the pin. So really quick, easy work here. And, you know, we're seeing a trend right now of a lot of these women's are in tags, you know, mixing and matching. You can kind of do like a little wave here. And then right after this, they announced Toni Storm, Britt Baker, and Ruby Soho for next week. I mean, I didn't even think about Jade, but Jade probably going to be on the one side too. So this, we're going to get some pretty cool stuff here. And how great would that be? I mean, I'm really excited for what the potential. I mean, this could just all be smoke and mirrors, but yep, Jade is one away from 50-0. So, are they going to pull a thing where she gets beat, or is she going to go 50-0? Who knows?
I think 49-0 would just look really silly. I think she'll win one more, but then that's the next one after that's when she probably loses.
Yeah, they're going to get their 50. That's going to be something she'll say for the rest of her career. I went 50. You know what I mean? I went 50-0. It's a moniker she can have for the rest of her career. She can use anywhere, you name it. But yeah, Action Andretti, Danny Garcia, main event, one of our pillars, facing off against Action Andretti, the guy who's been the talk of the town, right? I mean, he's got this new badass. I love the fucking music, man. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. New badass music. Danny Garcia was wearing some leather pants, huh?
He was. I referred to him in my notes as Leather Pants Garcia.
what'd you think of the main event here? Take the lead on this one. What'd you?
Yeah. So
ten and a half minute match.
Yeah, Andretti had some nice hit a nice set of chops at one point that I thought was good. Dude, you're gonna fucking resonate with this next thing that I wrote in my notes. You know what? Jericho and Guevara were both on commentary for this match. And you know what they reminded me of when they were, because they basically took over commentary for this match, for the whole match. And you know what Jericho and Guevara reminded me of here? Like, what's evil that? Golf commentators.
Okay.
Like, they were kind of silent, kind of just kind of letting the vibe flow, you know what I mean? Letting the match play out, not really doing the, let's do this, let's do that. Oh, look at all this stuff going on. Like, when Excalibur's, like, you know, running like 100 miles an hour with his mouth, you know? And we got some new meta for Jim Ross. Apparently, he's not wearing pants. Good to know, I guess. Good to know. They had an anti-air palm strike. Never seen that before. And I think that anti-air palm strike, Charlie, I think that wins a little award I like to give out every week.
Our boy, Ron Simmons.
Yep. That's the Simmons this week. Cause damn, that was brutal. I can't wait to hear what Action Andretti's perception of this last several months has been. Like when he finally does like AEW, what is that podcast called? AEW, whatever the hell, where they do the interviews.
Unlimited or unscripted, maybe.
AEW, something like that. Yeah, whatever it is. That podcast that Shivani and Aubrey have, where they interview the wrestlers that they bring in. I'm really excited to see that episode, or like a sessions with Renee, because I imagine it'll actually, you know, probably the episode has already been filmed, and I guarantee I know who it's going to be on. It's going to be on the Jericho show, obviously. He probably sat down with the kid, I would imagine. But I would be shocked, and I bet they're pretty tight, honestly, because of how much you put him over. So. But I can't wait to hear that story one day. This has to be incredible for that guy. You know what I mean?
Agreed. It's what a high he's got to be living on. And it's not like he's not taking advantage of this opportunity, because he looks fucking fantastic.
And he's why I want to hear it, because sometimes guys get that opportunity and it's kind of rocky. He's been nailing everything. I mean, Charlie, if you had told when Andretti pinned Jericho, would you have ever guessed he's as good on the mic as he was? I wouldn't.
No,
have.
And even the little promo that they played in the package before, like that little pre-packaged promo they did, it was fucking phenomenal. God, I wish I knew the line off the top of my head. I didn't write it down, but it was calling Daniel a bitch, and it was, dude, the way he delivered it, I'm like, who is this guy?
He sounds like some of the better talkers at AEW. I was like, okay, so this guy was just chilling out there on the indies, waiting for his opportunity. And once he got it, he took it and he ran with it. And it's going to be his career. He's going to look back on the one random win he got, you know, given over Jericho out of nowhere. And I'm so excited to hear that story one day. I really hope we do.
You know what I'm excited to see too? In about 2 months after this whole feud's done. And, you know, it's not 2 months anymore, about 7 weeks when this program passes and he wrestles Darby Allin for that TNT title.
I mean, he has to win, right?
And Darby gets a fucking hell of a match out of him too. He could win. That's the I don't know where this is going with Jericho, but it's gonna be something cool. And
I think Darby would even agree that he works better when he doesn't have a title to defend on a pay-per-view. You know, like, I think Darby works better when you can give him a story to tell. So I think if he lost to Andretti and then he had to kind of, like, think back, maybe that's what starts the distinction between him and Sting, right? Is that he loses to Andretti. He's like, you shouldn't have lost to that guy. What the hell? You're supposed to be the dude, you know? Yeah. Maybe that starts some tension there. I'm just fantasy booking here, you know?
A little Batista booking, if you will. But yeah, that was Rampage. Another really solid
Rampage night. Baby.
I loved the Cage and Mac match. But so tomorrow or tonight, whenever you guys listen to this show, or this week, who knows? Fuck it. We got Darby Allin against Buddy Matthews. I said Buddy Murphy earlier. That's my problem. That's my fault. Mark Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. Danielson versus Brian Cage. Guevara and Jericho versus Starks and Andretti. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho versus Tony Storm. Ethan Page and Matt Hardy versus Jungle Hook. And Family Therapy with the Guns and the Acclaimed.
It should be a fun show. I don't know if it's going to live up to the quality of the last 3-4 weeks, because the last 3-4 weeks have just been incredible, you know? Like, I mean, match after match after match after match just in stuff, you know? So, and I don't expect the Danielson versus Cage match to be any different. Although, like, it's like the one match I can't think of what it was in that Eliminator tournament that was like, two big guys. We all knew, like, there were six matches, and if it went a certain way, there was only going to be one match that was below the others, and it was just slightly, you know, like, it's not, it's same thing here. Like, this is going to be like, if all of them are 3.75 to 4-star matches, which I think they all will be, this might be the 3.5, you know what I mean? And that's fine, because it's going to be slightly above average, which is about what I expect it to be.
Very true. And I am very excited for it. So yeah, that'll be it for us, guys. Colt, I believe I saw something that's saying Cruz and Rick Abani and Caprice will be there covering the
I imagine Rick Abani is going to be on commentary for the match with Mark, I would
that'll
imagine.
That'll be an emotional moment, and I think that'll be felt through the screen, but that'll be it for us, guys. Seriously, thanks so much for checking it out. If you're on Apple Podcasts, check out Connect. I don't know how it all works, but yeah, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for sticking around this week. Again, Bane Duke on Twitter, OCharlie with an X instead of an A, the Duke of Derps on Twitch, and we will catch you guys next week talking about action. Action Andretti and Ricky Starks again. Woo!
Slapnut.
Slapnut.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,